Hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of the Kindness and Happiness Connection podcast. We're so happy to have you join us on a weekly basis, where our goal is to share tips, insights, and practical guidance to help you grow and prosper. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Kindness and Happiness Connection podcast. We have a marvelous, marvelous show for you today. I am here with my fantastic partner, Dr. Ilya Gorgoris, the happiness doctor. I'm going to let him say hi, and then we'll jump right into talking a little bit about our amazing guest.
I bring you happiness and joy from Greece. That's all I can tell you right now.
Well, this is truly an international broadcast today because we've got myself in the United States, we've got Ilya in Greece, and we are joined by an amazing man, Joseph Shaheb Yusuf.
Yusuf.
Oh, man, I'm just
perfectly fine, mate. You know, not an issue at all. You know, it's a proper name. You know, a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet, wouldn't it?
Yusuf is a great name, so we got to say it right. I love it.
Joseph Shaheb Yusuf. Was that better? That was better.
Perfect, mate.
So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about Joseph. He's got 15 years plus experience showing people and brands on how to care, which means connect, appreciate, relate, and engage meaningfully. And I'll tell you, Joseph does this amazingly well. He's got a podcast with his wonderful partner, Joy Abdullah, in which they totally personify that acronym, CARE, connect, appreciate, relate, and engage. And Joseph helps people really define their why by aligning their actions to their vision, their mission, their purpose, and help them to really create the edge over the competition. He lives and breathes and bleeds sales. He's a business development man. He works all of that through amazing relationship building. And the great thing about Joseph, he's got an amazing ability to show businesses how to collaborate, to co-create and redefine their approach to helping them so that they can get a competitive advantage. Now, here's the interesting thing. Joseph has been through his own amazing challenges in life, and yet here he is. He's a child of a single mother. He's faced life challenges head on. He hasn't let any of the challenges he's faced get him down. He leans straight into those. He started out when he was young, had a professional music band when he was 15 years old. He moved to Australia when he was 17, hence you're going to hear his amazing voice. He's got this wonderful accent that we love. And he's been negotiating and integral in negotiating some of the world's largest infrastructure projects at the age 30. So much more we could tell you. I could go on for another 10 minutes, but I'm going to let Joseph speak for himself.
You're very kind. You're very, very kind, Randy. And thank you so much. It's such a pleasure and honor to actually be on your and Ilya's podcast here. You know, I've been listening to some of your amazing episodes in the past. You've had on some brilliant guests who are very, very close. They've become friends over time, of course. And it's an honor. It's an absolute privilege to actually be on the show. And, you know, what better? You know, it's the Kindness and Happiness podcast, right? And this is what each and every one of us should be focusing on, especially during this time when we are all basically sheltering in place, quite literally, in our different countries and our different homes. And, you know, all we have is basically that essence of kindness and humanity and empathy, which binds us together. So it's a privilege to be on the show. Thank you.
Love what you just said there. And I think that that's a great segue into a question that Ilya is going to ask you right now.
Well, my question is, you have a large following, you speak truth with a capital T, because I've done my due diligence on you, Joseph, but our audience doesn't know you. So, no, seriously, so tell us your story, like, you know, a little bit about your upbringing and the impact that it had being raised by a single mom. Pretty much half the households in the world are raised by single parents and oftentimes single moms. And, you know, how did that help define who you became as a man?
It's a great question, and this is something which I'm very passionate about, because especially with my upbringing, my mom has had to, especially, you know, if you are in a, I wouldn't say a third world country, I would say a developing country like originally from India, from Calcutta. And so I was brought up by a single mom, you know, from when I was 2 years old. So, you know, it has been hard. I've actually, the quintessential question that people ask you when you're at school, etc., you know, who's your dad? And right. You're not quite sure as a child as to how to answer that question. So I used to, at that moment, actually take the name of my maternal grandfather as my father. And it was something which came very naturally to me. So I was very, very actually blessed to obviously have the love of a doting mother who is my mentor and my guide. She is someone who I have basically, you know, modeled myself upon, if that makes sense. And I was very lucky to actually have both my maternal grandparents growing up, who basically were like steadfast rocks around me and my mom. And, you know, my mom obviously used to work as a teacher. So she was an English teacher in school back in India. And then she became the principal of a school. And presently, she's actually a politician in India. So, you know, she's had a bit of a change in career as well. One thing which has basically always stuck by me is basically her integrity. And that is something which I model myself on. And Ilya, when you mentioned at the present moment, before you asked me the question with the truth, with a capital T, that is something which I'm very, very passionate about. And integrity to me is absolutely everything. So, you know, if I'm able to look myself in the mirror and basically able to, you know, appreciate the reflection that's staring back at me, that's when I feel, you know, my job's well done, if that makes sense. So I was born in India, lived for the first 17 years of my life. So I've done my schooling, my high school till year 12 in India. And then I went to Melbourne for my graduation, my post-graduation, and I started working there. So my career literally started in Melbourne. And after that, I've been here in Singapore now for the last 7 years. I'm actually on my way back to Melbourne by the end of this year. Hopefully the borders would have opened by then. So I am looking at a couple of opportunities at this moment and looking at getting back down under at the earliest. Australia is a place which I call home. Very, very passionate about the country. And most of my friends who know me, they literally consider me to be half Australian anyways. And it's always been very interesting. And Randy, you mentioned earlier with regards to obviously my accent. It's something which a lot of people actually feel that this is something which I have perhaps imbibed when I moved to Australia. Not really, because I've always had, you know, international schooling from a very young age, taught in the British curriculum. So you may say that, you know, a bit of an Aussie twang has come in after having spent nearly 12 years in Australia. But a lot of people, you know, when they speak to me, they're like, hey, you're a brown guy, but, you know, we can't quite imagine whether, you know, you're a Brit or an Aussie, or I've been actually abused at for someone thinking that I was Irish. I don't know why or how. I don't think I sound Irish at all.
Now, be careful, because I am Irish. So.
Well, see, there you go. And, you know, if I did sound Irish, I'm sure, Randy, you'd be able to pick that up. But I don't think I sound Irish. But yeah, it's been an interesting quagmire of different situations that I found myself in across multiple countries. So it's been an interesting journey. And I would say I am still in a bit of a transformational stage personally, as well as professionally. And, you know, look out, keep the ball rolling and just keep an eye out. You know, big things are on its way.
I love what you said, Joseph. And a couple of things that come. Number one, I can listen to you talk all day long just because you have a lovely accent. People never mistake me for a Greek accent because my accent is not Greek. It's kind of international, but I've been called, are you from Australia? Are you from, you know, all kinds of countries? The other thing is that in Melbourne, as you know, has the largest Greek population outside of Greece, besides New York City. So you must know some Greek friends in Melbourne.
Absolutely, absolutely. And shout out to the first Greek friend who comes to mind, Kiki Makrogiannis from Melbourne. So she's an amazing content creator as well. And I've been blessed to actually know so many people back down under across multiple industries. And yes, I love Greek food, just so you know, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, whenever I think about Greek food, Brunswick Road in Coburg in Melbourne comes to mind. So, you know, I know Melbourne like the palm of my hand. It's an amazing place. It has to have something really nice if it was actually awarded the most livable city in the world eight years running. So
right. It's a wow. Yes. And then I've invited Randy to Greece. Now you're invited as well, my brother. You can come to Greece anytime. My home is open to you. Just so you know.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm telling you, Greece is definitely on my bucket list.
Absolutely. Oh, it's on my bucket list.
Would love to be there. So absolutely.
Well, you brought something up about transformation, though. You're still and what it triggered in my mind is, you know, Michelangelo, together with Leonardo da Vinci, the founders of the Renaissance period, obviously. At the end of his life, when they interviewed him, they said, "Master, tell us something, you know, profound and wise or whatever." You know what he answered? He said, "I am still learning." Now, think about who said that. An old Michelangelo, who's already created some of the greatest sculptures in the world. A genius, right? And so I think, I always look back to him and say, if Michelangelo is still learning something at the end of his life, then all of us should continue to learn on a daily basis, no matter how old we are, and continue to transform and evolve.
Couldn't agree more. A lot of people, talk about perfection, right? I'm a big believer that the pursuit of perfection is absolutely futile. I don't believe in two words. One is perfection, and the other one is specialist. So you can't have both, because they are extremes of a particular word. So things can always be bettered. So in my opinion, nothing is perfect. It can always be bettered. And the other one is expert. A lot of people talk about experts, right? Same way. There is no end to learning, as you've just mentioned earlier. So in my opinion, it's a continuous learning experience. Whoever you meet around the world, there are certain things that you will imbibe from them, that you will learn from them. And, you know, they leave a little part of their own character, their personality with you if you've actually spent enough time with certain people. And, that's part of the learning experience. That's part of living. That's part of life in general. So absolutely, I'm a big believer. I've always sort of considered myself to be a lifelong learner, I guess, maybe because it was basically drilled into me from when I was a child with regards to learning and education, you know, considering my mom was a teacher and an educationist herself. So I think that has always been the case. I wouldn't say that I was the first boy in my class. I would say that I was in the top 10, but I was always a bit of an all-rounder, so to speak. So I still remember being chased by my mum with a broom just the day before my maths exams when I was in year 10, because I spent the entire day with my friends playing LAN games and playing Counter-Strike. So yeah, maybe I'm giving a bit away about my age, but it was hilarious. But
it sounds to me like a very well balanced life. It's not always about work. You got to have some fun. So
absolutely, you have to. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, you guys talking about Greek food and all this other stuff. I'm sitting here salivating, thinking about Greek food, thinking about the wonderful opportunities I've had to meet people from different locations in the world. And as I listen to what you're talking about, Joseph, it really makes me think you've had some amazing opportunities to live in different countries, to live in India, to live in Australia, to be in Singapore. Mm-hmm. This is the Kindness and Happiness Connection podcast. So I'm going to ask you a quick question. How has kindness blessed your life and led to happiness, if you will? If you have any experiences you'd like to share a couple things, drop them out there for us.
Oh, hey, can I add one more thing? Joseph, can I add one? Does it vary depending on the culture? Because, you know, as Randy said, India, Australia, and Singapore, three very distinct cultures. Or is there some common thread when it comes to kindness and happiness that is basically humanity? Or does it vary depending on where you're from?
Well, absolutely. There is definitely a common thread because, the underlying essence of kindness, I'm just sort of quoting a very famous quote, which goes along the lines of, you know, kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. So, you know, I think it's regardless of cultures and countries and people, kindness is something which is not something that you can actually put on It's not like a mask. It's not a facade that you can, you know, take off and take, you know, take on and take off.
Here's my kindness mask today.
Spot on. You know, you're either a person who actually believes in kindness and empathy and compassion, or you don't. And in my opinion, each and every individual, each and every human being has got kindness somewhere deep down buried within them. It's all about situations. Has actually put a lot of weight on those, and they feel that it's lost somewhere deep down. Mm-hmm. But kindness is something which, in my opinion, each and every one of us has the opportunity to show, has the opportunity to share, and has the opportunity to basically, magnify into not just our lives, but into others' lives. It's something, in my opinion, which you keep, if you share, it only grows. It doesn't diminish. But depending on cultures, absolutely, I would say it does differ. I would say Singapore and India, to a certain extent, is pretty similar, because there is an Asian culture in the background, which is a pretty much of a hierarchical society, if that makes sense. It's clear that, you know, especially from in a corporate world, senior managers and senior leaders tend to be a little bit hesitant to actually be more empathetic towards their subordinates, because they feel that they're actually letting go of certain attributes of being a superior, so to speak. It's something to do with their mindset and the way the culture is of the country, not the culture I'm talking about here. But it is very different in Australia. I've worked in Australia for, you know, close to 11 years, and it's more of an open-minded culture where, you know, age is not the number, is not regarded as a defining factor. I was chosen to be a team leader when I was 18 years old, when I was working in Melbourne for Telstra, which is one of the biggest telecommunications providers in Australia, which is semi-owned by the government. So, you know, I was thrust into leadership by my immediate manager, who was French. I still remember his name, Marc Antoine, who was my first leader mentor, so to speak, in the corporate field. And I was scared, but he was like, no, you need to, I can see the essence and the values that you have within you and the opportunities that you need to just take on board and run ahead with it. And, it's sometimes, you know, it's not just kindness. It's just also the importance of someone understanding the value that you have within you, which you might not be able to see yourself. And I think that is the best way a person can actually be kind to another person. Because I was just actually talking to one of my very close friends earlier today over the phone, and we were just talking about something along the lines of how we can be really critical of our own selves, right? We are our own worst critics, in my opinion. And that's when you need someone who you trust, who is, who's close to you, of course. They may not be family. I'm a big believer of friends like family, because I've had some close friends who've done way more than my immediate family has ever done for me, without even batting an eyelid, quite literally. But so we were discussing as to how we can be our own worst critics. And it's a very interesting relationship that we both have. We're very, very close, but we always keep ourselves accountable. And we can be really hard on the other person, being like, no, you need to do that. Or when one of us is talking unkindly to ourselves, along the lines of, I'm not good enough, or, you know, this is, I'm just being frustrated with this, you know, maybe it's just meant to be, or something along those lines, you know, all the negative things that we can talk about ourselves, right? And I think the kindest thing that someone who you care and trust, who is in your inner circle, can do for you is basically literally stand up for you against you and say, no, you are good enough and you need to stop being unkind to yourself. I think that is the biggest essence of kindness that we can do, especially for those who are around us. They could be our very close friends, our family members, etc. So I think kindness is, in each and every one of us. We just need to be able to bring it out more into the open.
So you've triggered at least a bazillion thoughts, but I'm just going to share two. Number one, in my first half of my career as a clinical psychologist, I worked with a lot of addicts. That was one of my expertise, you know, addiction counseling. Mm-hmm. And when they would come in at their lowest point in their lives, when their lives are out of control and a disaster, they would say, you know, I'm messed up. They would use foul language to describe themselves. Mm-hmm. And in essence, they would say, well, I'm just an addict. And I would stand up for them, exactly what you just said, but I had never thought about it in the way you described it. And I would say, you know what? You're not just an addict. You're so much more than that. You're a father. You're a husband. You're a friend. You're a provider. You're a cousin. You're an uncle. You're like, you have all these different other roles that you play. You're actually a good person. You're taking a slice of yourself, you know, which is probably, you know, the slice that has hurt you the most through self-destructive behaviors. I get it. But don't see yourself through those lenses only, because that's not fair. I see you from all these other ways, including that you're a child of God in some ways, like a much, much bigger, you know, picture. And they would be shocked at the way that I would describe them. And I'm like, that's how I see you. I don't see you with what you just described. So that's the thought number one. The second one has to do with the kindness that you said that is innate in us. This morning, I'm floating in the Mediterranean with a good friend of mine. We've been friends for like 45 years. And she said to me, I've known you since you were a little kid. You've always had this positive energy and this happy-go-lucky kind of like, where did that come from? Because you have a certain philosophy that you actually live and you practice on a daily basis. And I see it. I've, you know, I said, you know, when I was 5 years old, my grandpa, whose name I carry, Ilya, who died soon after that, so I didn't have a lot of time with him. The last thing that I remember, he said to me, my boy, that's how he used to call me back then. He said, my boy, if you want to be happy in life, do something for somebody else every day and you will live a rich life. That's the translation from the Greek, but that's the essence of it.
Yeah.
And as a little 5 year old little kid, I took that to heart. It made a lot of sense that if you do something kind for somebody else on a daily basis, it doesn't have to be something grand. It could be a compliment. It could be a hug. It could be, you know, Joseph, you look great. I love your accent. It could be whatever. You do something kind that feeds your soul, because there's almost like a boomerang effect that happens innately. And as a result, you're happy. And I've tried to live that for half a century, because I think my grandpa's advice, it was so simple, right? Mm-hmm. Simple. Do something good for somebody else every day. That's it.
Spot on. I mean, and you brought up such an important point, Ilya. I mean, we make things complicated. Life is simple. The KISS principle, right? You know, keep it simple and stupid. And that is so important. It's the Marines came up with it a gazillion years ago, whatever. But we make things complicated because we actually overthink and we overcomplicate things, and we don't keep things in the essence of what it needs to be. Like, and very similarly, you know, I've got a similar experience. Like my mom, you know, when I was younger, the first thing that, you know, has really, really sort of embedded itself into my heart, what she said, was along the lines of, if you've got nothing good to say about someone, just keep your mouth shut. Simple as that.
Yeah. It's the same
thing. That's something which I believe. Yeah.
Same thing. We do, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. You know?
Exactly. So, pretty much.
I love what you've talked about here, because first of all, you know, you're so spot on when you say we're our own worst critic. Well, who do we spend 100% of our time with? we're around ourselves 100% of the time. And so it's very easy to be critical of ourselves, but it is so, so, so vitally important. In fact, Ilya talks about this in his book, his recent book, The 7 Keys for Navigating a Crisis. The first chapter is on self-care. Mm-hmm. And it's so vital that we learn how to be kind to ourselves and recognize none of us are perfect. But if we can develop the habit of looking for the good in ourselves, okay, I do this, okay, I do this, but not to the point of being arrogant or being full of ourselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having healthy self-confidence, right?
Can I ask something to both of you? Actually, this is for Joseph, but for you, Randy, too.
Sure.
Oftentimes, when people try honestly to practice self-care, they're often accused of being selfish, you know? How would you answer that or counter that argument that when you try to take care of yourself, it's actually not a selfish thing, it's an act of self-compassion? What would you say to that?
Do you mind if I just answer? I'll say from my perspective.
Yeah.
I say, listen, if I'm not taking care of myself, how am I going to be able to help and take care of other people?
Spot on.
You know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm trying to be a provider. If I'm not taking care of me, my body and my mind are my production capacity. if I, it's just like, you know, you getting a new car and then driving it into the ground. If you don't take care of it, it's not going to be around, right? And you will have just wasted your time. Well, right now, my body and my mind are my car, if you will. And I have to take good care of them. Otherwise, I'm not going to be around to do the other things that I need to do.
Joseph, how would you answer that? I think
Randy, you just absolutely nailed it there. It's essential. You know, one can't pour from an empty cup, right? And I'm just going to use the airplane analogy. You know, you are meant to put on your own oxygen mask first before actually helping another person. Because if you don't look after yourself, and this is what a lot of people fail to do, especially in today's world, because we are time bound. You know, there are so many distractions. There's so much negativity around us that we actually let that creep into our inner soul and allows that to basically whisper back to us every single day that we are not good enough. But we fail to realize that the moment we actually just take a moment of pause to reflect and introspect about the little things in life that we've done in the past, about how we've actually achieved things that we perhaps, when we think back, were like, how the hell did I do that? You know, little things along those lines. We need to start celebrating our little victories. And that is absolutely essential. And so, you know, you have to look after yourself first. Otherwise, you know, there is no way that you can actually sort of do anything for others around you.
And it's an interesting thing because, you know, I talk to people about, you know, what kind of mindset do you have? Do you have a what's in it for me mindset or a what's in it for we mindset? When some people say, well, if you're looking after yourself and always thinking about taking care of yourself, then you've just got a what's in it for me mindset. And I said, no. Actually, that's not true, because again, it comes back to, if I'm not taking care of me, then I can't take care of we.
Spot on.
I can't be there to be part of that. What's in it for we opportunity. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to be effective.
And it's important to do it without any guilt whatsoever, but do it as an act of self-love and self-care. I call it being selfish, in quotes, selfish in some ways, but it there's a good kind of selfishness, I guess. That word is often alluded to as a negative term. But in this particular case, especially during the pandemic, I feel like the level of self-care, even coming here to Greece and doing what I'm doing, because of my stress level having increased, I also need to step up and increase my own self-care in order to match the stressors of the world.
Man, that was some great comments. And we're getting toward the end where we need to wrap up. But Joseph, it has been fantastic just listening to you, talking with you. And so if you could give three tips, three little takeaways to our audience, what would you share with our audience today?
That's a difficult question. However, I think the first thing which I always say is don't make the mistake of putting anyone on a pedestal.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Well, because I've done that in the past and I've regretted it. What I mean by that is basically I have basically not listened to my own needs and requirements and only focused on what others wanted. And that has affected me both professionally as well as personally. And that is something which a lot of people do, especially, you know, obviously you've got your givers and your takers, right? And most givers, they give without expecting in return. But at exactly. some point, you have to be selfish enough to say, no, that's it. You have to draw the line because otherwise you're going to run yourself dry. It's simple as that. You know, there has to be a bit of a reciprocative behavior that we need to sometimes start from our end, because people just get used to taking advantage of you. And that's the reason as to why, you know, I'm a big believer that you shouldn't put anyone on a pedestal, whoever it is. So that's absolutely number one. Number two.
Okay, can I ask, let me add something to that that you said about, especially for givers, because I think everybody in this, we're all givers, and it comes naturally, like you said, we don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I work with a lot of people that oftentimes reach the breaking point and they get burned out.
That's right. They
have a midlife crisis and they're overwhelmed and so on. And they could present even health issues and so on. I mean, it could get really bad. So one of my homework assignments is that every week you need to say no to somebody. And they're like, almost like, well, I can't do that. I'm like, listen, if I was talking to you, Joseph, I said, Joseph, every time you say no to somebody, you're saying yes to Joseph. Every time you say no to somebody else, you're saying yes to yourself. Because it's not like all of a sudden we're going to become takers and we're going to become self-centered and so it's going to be all about us. We're still going to give, but it has more to do with boundaries.
I was just going to say it has to do with boundaries and balance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So every time we say no to somebody, you're saying yes to yourself. And that's part of your self-care, coming back to what we talked about before.
Precisely. Yes. And I think the second one would be have that courage to actually follow through on your passion. A lot of people actually, due to the fear of judgment and the fear of failure, don't do things which they know could have been a life changer. And then, you know, 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, they will sit back and regret just with the question, what if? Don't give yourself the opportunity to ask yourself that question, what if? Just do it. You know, what's the worst that could happen? You'll fail. What's the worst that could happen? The girl you want to ask out is going to reject you. What's the worst that could happen? The raise that you wanted from your boss is going to be turned down. That's it. But life moves on. But at least you know what could have happened rather than building up scenarios in your head as to what if. And I think that's very, very important. Most of us, we hold ourselves back. And that is something, in my opinion, you know, which really affects us in the long run. And the third thing, you know, it's something which I have actually come to realize a little bit more now that I'm a father myself. So stop telling no to your kids all the time. And we all do that. You know, all parents do that. No, 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 don't do that. Or no, don't do that.
No, I've never done that. No, I haven't.
Well, there you go. and see, this is something which I have felt that, you know, it's that negative mindset, the negative connotation that we are attaching to little things from an early age, which doesn't help anyone. And that basically allows or basically instills that sense of, you know, when we are unsure as to what we want to do, because we've just heard no so many times. I mean, how many times have you seen a child actually do something without any fear? Because they don't understand it. They've not been told no, or they don't know that that is wrong. But, you know, in many, many situations in our adulthood, if we think back and if we put a child in our place, the child would do it, but we would hesitate because, you know, we just have that framing at the back of our mind with a no, with a negative element. So, you know, stop saying no to your kids all the time. The best way for them to sometimes learn is to basically by doing something which they will remember as to they don't need to do it again or they don't want to. And I'm not asking you to basically allow them to put their finger into an electrical socket or something along those lines. No. But, you know, little
Wait
things
a minute,
along
you just
the
said
lines
no.
Of, precisely. You see what I'm saying here, Randy. Yeah. We've just been, I don't know, it's something which has deep-seated relevance from occurrences.
Actually, Joseph and Randy too, this actually goes to both of you. I think what Joseph just brought up, the third one, is an entire webinar or webcast by itself. We can have a discussion about this very, very topic about no, and when no is appropriate, and Correct. When no is necessary, and when no is destructive. And it's not just for kids, but the impact that those no's early on in our developmental stage, what that has later on in life, and how it even applies to leadership. I can see connections with the saying no versus taking some risks, you know, some calculated risks. Yeah. I can see the applicability of that in all kinds of ways. I would ask to invite you or for us to do something. We can talk about this offline, actually, but this is it. Sure. We can have an entire program on this alone.
Joseph, it has been fantastic having you on. We so appreciate you. We know it's late there. Nice. It's like it's getting to be where it's, what is it, 12:30?
No, it's 11:30. You know, it's evening for me, mate. You know, I'm going to be awake till like 2, 3 a.m. Because, you know, I've got so many amazing friends in the in the US, of course.
Yeah.
And I love to engage with their content as well. So, you know, now is LinkedIn time for me. You know, kids are off to bed. So, you know, between about 10 o'clock to about maybe 2:30, 3 a.m. is, you know, I switch back and forth between Netflix and LinkedIn. So, you know, I'm watching one of these, you know, docudramas, of course, but, you know, which never end. And, you know, yeah. It just gets, you know, keeps you hooked. But, you know, LinkedIn also is where I pretty much live. I spend, you know, anywhere between 5 to 7 hours a day on LinkedIn. So I love it. And, you know, it's been an amazing opportunity. And, you know, if not for LinkedIn, we would never have met. So I'm truly grateful for this amazing
platform. So grateful for it. So thankful for, you know, it's amazing how we can connect to people all over the world. Think about this, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, we would have never been thinking about having these kind of conversations, you know, because too expensive, ridiculously costly. Yep. Now we can, you know, at the flick of a couple buttons pulling up the application, here we are.
Exactly. I feel like I've known you forever and we've only been talking for like 45 minutes. It's incredible. I'm too old to pay compliments if I don't mean it. When I say something, I mean it. It's an incredible connection.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate that. And, you know, I feel very similar as well. You know, obviously, you know, we've only, you know, this is the first time we're actually having a face-to-face conversation. Which is amazing. And this is something, interestingly, I've noticed whenever I've had conversations with people and friends from LinkedIn who I've never met in my life before. It's just that immediate connection that we all have. So it's I think, you know, like attracts like, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Absolutely.
Some people will say fools seldom defer, but don't worry about them. You know?
Well, think about it. We're all, just because of this conversation, we're all sitting there saying, you know, if I'm ever in Singapore, I know I can go somewhere and I can find Joseph and I'll have a place to stay. If I'm ever in Greece, I can go and find Ilya, you know, when he's there.
I'm coming to Melbourne. I want to be in Melbourne.
We're going to come to Melbourne.
I'll see you in Melbourne for Christmas, guys. So,
all right.
That'll be good.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We want to thank our audience. Take the time to thank our audience for tuning in and listening. If you would like to connect with Joseph, you can find him on LinkedIn at Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, Saheb, S-A-H-E-B, Yusuf, Y-O-U-U-S-E-F, or you can find him at his website, artworks.com.sg. We invite you to stay tuned for another great episode next week. We are going to be having Jeff Baedo, the host of the Enjoy Success podcast. Fantastic individual doing some great things. You will not want to miss that podcast. So thank you again for joining us. We wish you a wonderful rest of your Saturday and hope that you have a fantastic weekend and a great upcoming week, I should say. Not uncoming, but upcoming. Thank you very much.
Have a good night. We know it's almost midnight your time. Thank you for staying up with us.
Yep. Absolute pleasure, guys. Have a great day ahead. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
All right. If you have suggestions for discussion topics, please visit anchor.fm/kindness-happiness and follow the instructions in our show description. Remember, kindness is a choice.
And happiness is a choice always. So choose to be kind and choose to be happy today, and good things will follow.
Have a wonderful rest of your day.